Welcome to Sourcing Enterprise AI, a podcast by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. I'm John Belden, Chief Strategy and Research Officer.
And I'm Bill Rufo, Upper Edge's Chief Revenue Officer. Join us every other week as we explore the impact of artificial intelligence and the critical issues IT decision makers and sourcing professionals will face.
The AI market is just in its infancy with new capabilities, new vendors, and a new competitive landscape and a boatload of risk. In each episode, we'll do a deep dive into a particular AI topic and explore the latest news releases and their potential impact on the market.
Empower your AI decision-making with vendor insights and sourcing strategies. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm excited to jump in today. I know, like, we always talk about kind of the different stories that we hear in the market and in the news on a weekly basis. Just wanted to see if we what we uncovered this week, what we found out. What'd you hear this week?
Well, there's a couple of interesting stories over the last couple of weeks that I wanted to touch on, at least to get started. I think maybe the most important one is an announcement that was made by IBM, where they talked about the availability of what's called Watson S Granite. And essentially, this is LLM models that are coming from IBM. And what makes this probably the most interesting story for me is that IBM has selectively said that they're going to provide what's called IP indemnity, right? Meaning, if you use our LLM models, you, the client, are protected from, right, intellectual property lawsuits, et cetera, right? From the standpoint of you don't have to worry about maybe the exposure that you would have using OpenAI products like ChatGPT, right? So it's IBM's way of saying, come on over here to use our stuff because it's safe.
Yeah, that's really interesting, given all the regulatory conversations.
Well, yeah, exactly, right. So that's kind of where IBM is positioning itself there from a competitive standpoint. I think another interesting announcement that came out was from SAP, where they've announced a product called Joule, which is essentially going to be, as my read of it, is it's a co-pilot to go along with the normal SAP transactions that are going to allow you to dig deeper and draw out insights from, you know, other sources of information while you're going through your AI transactions. That, you know, I'm going to say there's a lot of companies that are pushing that out. What makes it really interesting for me, though, is what's not being said by SAP, which is, will there be a co-pilot with SAP that is targeted at improving, let's call it, the efficiencies associated with the implementation of SAP, right? So thinking about code co-pilots to make things a lot faster in terms of coding, or testing co-pilots to help you test that system, right? So things that are targeted at deployment efficiency, which while may be valuable for the client, will be a direct shot at SAP's partners in terms of implementation, in terms of kind of making them more efficient and ultimately, you know, perhaps affecting their revenue streams. To me, that was a really, really interesting announcement.
Yeah, I would say so. What else is out there? What are we seeing from the likes of like Accenture and EY?
Yeah, so maybe not so recent in those areas, but certainly with Accenture, you know, one of the things that they've said is, hey, we're going to be investing $3 billion in AI. And we're going to be converting 40,000 of our people that are not involved in AI over to this AI technology to assist our clients. And, you know, $3 billion sounds like a lot of money, okay? But when you put it into the context of Accenture and you look at their, you know, their base for deriving revenue, you know, I did some back of the envelope calculations on that and said, you know, it's only going to take them about 2 years at a $2 hour rate increase in order to be able to recover that investment.
But
that investment itself, right, is going to impact the entire Accenture workforce. So clearly something I think that'll pay off for an adventure for Accenture, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
EY, you know, they've already gone to market with their product in terms of a generative AI. They're probably, you know, they're probably more threatened, I'll call it, by somewhat threatened by AI, but enabled by AI as well. Because when you look at the audit space in particular, let's say where EY, PwC, Deloitte are, right? There are not a lot of people that are coming out of college that say, oh, I want to be an auditor. Ooh, I want to be an auditor, right? So from their perspective, right, the application of AI is going to solve a problem for them, right? Which is, where am I going to get the workforce in order to be able to perform these audit services? So EY is kind of in a space now where they're actually deploying this new generative AI technology and taking it to the clients to perform those services, right? So they're definitely in the vanguard of application of the tool itself.
Sure, sure. And what about like Deloitte? I'm sure they're not sitting back.
No, but you know what? They're not sitting back, but they're not saying anything either, right? So they're not putting out publicly, right, what big investments we're making in AI. We know, right, from the business that we're in,
yeah,
that they're certainly putting it in play.
I would imagine, yeah.
But they're not making big public announcements associated with what they're doing with it.
Well, that'll certainly be interesting for us to follow and keep everybody informed of, because I'd imagine at some point that's got to change.
Yeah, I think it will as well.
Yeah. Well, so interesting. You mentioned something earlier that talking about efficiency and you know, we hear a lot about generative AI and its, you know, frankly, its ability to create these efficiencies and productivity gains, quite frankly, at all levels, really, at a personal level within the vendors, et cetera. But I don't imagine that all these vendors are going to take to that productivity and efficiency gains, which will, I'm assuming, relay in some costs functionality here. Like, tell me a little bit about that. How's that going to play out?
So the vendors, let's take a specific example, right? Let's talk about the where our clients might be involved in moving from, let's call it an SAP ECC platform over to S/4HANA. One would think that that would be a natural place where the application of AI could significantly reduce the costs of an implementation, and that our that client or that supplier base of Accenture, Deloitte, PwC, et cetera, should be able to apply those AI technologies to substantially reduce the cost of an implementation like mm-hmm. that. Right now, we're not necessarily seeing it yet, okay, but we know that it's out there and we know that those SIs are pursuing it. So when we think about the potential of reducing the cost in that space, or what the impact is going to have on the cost, the model I like to use for our clients is, think about your cost of your SI in two dimensions. The amount of time that it's going to take for the SI to put on your project. So think about that as one dimension, SI hours. And then think about the other dimension as, what's going to be the blended rate for that time? I mean, how much are you going to pay per hour? What our research would say is that in general, the amount of hours for a particular project is likely to go down,
right?
Okay, driven by the level of automation. Although we believe that the scope of projects is probably going to go up a little bit with generative AI, and we believe that the SIs are going to take on more responsibilities for the programs, which in certain cases is also going to drive up their costs. But in general, we believe that the cost of the project or number of hours for the project is going to go down. When we think about the blended rate, though, however, what our research would indicate is that the blended rate is most likely going to increase over time based upon the fact that the hours that are going to be, let's call it, that are going to be impacted by generative AI are most likely going to be offshore hours to begin with. And okay. So what you're going to see is efficiency improvements on the offshore piece, meaning less offshore hours. And if you've got less offshore hours, then by default, that means that your blended rate is likely going to go up, right? We also think that what we're going to see from a ratio standpoint in terms of the staffing ratio, number of resource hours, let's say below manager versus above manager, we think that's going to change as well, that it's going to take less staff level positions to do these projects. We think the management level positions will largely be the same, which again is going to increase the blended rate. Holistically, we think the blended rate or the overall cost of the project is going to go down.
Yeah, that's really interesting, right? So it's not necessarily just vendors adding all this technology and jacking up costs just to find a way to jack up costs, but there's actually some fundamental changes to how they're going to be approaching these projects, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's really interesting and something that I think everyone really needs to pay attention to and really, really understand at the project level, both directionally how it's going to impact the project itself, but the strategy of the business.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's a good point, Bill. I mean, one of the things that we did as an exercise or as a part of our research is we went through, let's call it this typical project. And for the typical project, we took each one of these components of the project and we broke it down and we said, okay, based upon our understanding of generative AI, mm-hmm. where do we believe that there are ultimately going to be the potential for cost savings? And when we did this on, I'll call it a sample project, what we found was roughly the potential for a 30 to 40% reduction in the cost of these programs in general, wow. as a result of the generative AI. And we went through and we started to think about, well, where might we see the evidence of that, right? What would come out from those things? And we started to say, well, you know, think about the possibility of workshops that are being recorded, design workshops that are being recorded, and then taking the recordings of those workshops, right? Having generative AI summarize those recordings, having it then create a future state process design, right, from those sessions, and then from there create functional designs, starting point for functional designs on interfaces, right? You know, all of the things I'm talking about are possible. Right. So, you know, just being able to do that is going to have a dramatic impact on, I'll call it, on programs itself. The concept of creating documentation, right? Just, you know, all of the documentation that comes out of the creation of a new systems design, asking generative AI to review the code and create a documentation package that would be sufficient to pass, let's say, auditors or hand off to your AMS team, again, going to be tremendously simplified. So, you know, when I think about all of those things and we go down, you know, data, OCM, design, you know, the impact is going to just, we're confident that the impact is going to be significant in that area.
Yeah. And like, obviously there's a lot to focus at the micro level on a project base, but like expand a little bit more about, like, if we zoom out to the macro level, the market impact as a whole relative to SIs, what are we either seeing or think it might play out?
You know, this is where you put your crystal ball and you start looking at your crystal ball and saying, okay, what do we think is going to happen? You know, I think one of the things that is going to happen is a lot of the pre-configured solutions and templates that have been generated by the Accenture, the IBMs, and the PwCs and the like, I think their value is going to erode over time. And I think that the application of generative AI is going to allow you to say, I don't want to be like everybody else. Right. What I want to be is aligned with where my business strategy is. So design me a system that is consistent with where my business is going, or design me a configuration where my business is going to go, is a lot more powerful than give me a system that looks like what everybody else is using. Right. So I think the value of those pre-configures is going to erode. I think, for the SIs, the companies, let's say, like Accenture, that are making these investments, this you know, the $3 billion investments, let's call them first movers, mm-hmm. okay, people that are going to go to the market. I think for the first movers, there's a potential for a 20 to 40%, let's call it, whether we call it an increase in the win rate, right, or we call it a windfall in profits, where they apply these tools. I think they're going to be able to be 20 to 40% more productive than what their competition is right now. Whether they go ahead,
is that because it's more of a factor of them setting the table for how this will look going forward, at least in the short term?
I think it's going to be the fact that they're going to know that they're going to be able to go into their competition, and they're going to be, if they're first movers, they're going to be 20 to 30% more productive than what their competition is.
Yeah.
Right now, whether they choose to pass that through to the clients, right, that 20 to 30% premium as their win rate, or if they say, oh no, we're going to go in exactly the same with the same price as what we normally would be.
Yeah.
Right. But we're going to keep that 20 to 30% as profit, right? In either scenario, there's going to be significant benefits to the first mover there.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I would imagine that 20 to 40%, you know, it plays out anywhere near that. It's very significant. And then how others will react to those first movers, we'll certainly be keen to pay attention to how that plays out.
Exactly. Right. And then I think the last area that, you know, I'll touch on, well, maybe two last areas. I think generative AI is also not within the first 2 years, but maybe within year three and year four, right? It's going to level the playing field on talent because everybody is going to have generative AI, right? And so that notion of, oh, I have better talent, you know, I have much more better talent. Tier one has much more better talent or greater talent than a tier two. Well, if they're all applying generative AI and they're all reasonably using the same foundation for the LLMs, then that first level of talent across all vendors is going to be pretty equivalent, right? So they're going to have to come up with different ways to differentiate themselves and pass that through to the client. It's not going to be, oh, you know, we're PwC, we got better people than Infosys, or we got better people than TCS. That's going to level out, and it's going to level out even with the niche players, right? So
yeah, that's really fascinating, because the last few years at least have been this race to upskill employees to get to a certain technical threshold, and now the other side of the pendulum scale, if you will, is tipping to create these efficiency gains, which gets to the same point of this really efficient and technical personnel and talent.
Right. Now, the other thing, I guess, looking out there, the big problem, at least I say the big problem, you know, the big problem with efficiencies for the systems integrators is going to be, well, with a 20 to 30% efficiency, if I pass that all into my client, right, where am I going to recoup that revenue from, that 30%, right? How am I going to get that? You know, there's probably 4 to 6 different streams that we've identified where the vendors are going to be able to recoup that revenue. Just touching on some of them, right? There's going to be AI enablement services, right? So when you're going out to and you're going to put in SAP, you're not going to put in the same SAP that existed 3 years ago, right? You're going to put in SAP that has generative AI built into it, right? New capabilities into it, which means that the scope of the project is going to be slightly increased from what it was, let's call it 2 to 3 years ago, right? So there's going to be a revenue bump associated with the scope of these projects somewhat increasing, right? We also think there's probably going to be a revenue bump associated with the vendors actually licensing, you know, some of their large language models or their multi-mode models. So Accenture coming to the market and saying, yeah, you're buying our services, but you're also going to be buying these capabilities. And so with these capabilities comes a licensing model, perhaps to use our tools and maybe use our tools in perpetuity, which then makes it a revenue stream that continues on beyond the product.
That's interesting.
Right. So there's a number of things that way that we think they're ultimately going to be able to recover this revenue.
Wow. Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit. We obviously as a business receive a lot of RFPs, and we talk about projects, people going to market to go to RFP. Given all that we just outlined, what are kind of some of the considerations, maybe strategies that folks and companies need to consider when going to RFP?
Yeah. So from my standpoint now, when we're thinking about the systems integrators, you know, we believe that it is critical for our clients to solicit, right, directly into this, what is going to be the impact of generative AI on your business model, Mr. Systems Integrator.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason for that is the systems integrators are not going to be encouraged to pass through savings to their clients unless they're specifically asked, right? What are you going to do for me? Otherwise, right, those first movers will ultimately keep those profits for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So we encourage our firm, we encourage our clients to ask questions in three broad categories, right? Category number one, what's the overall strategy of the systems integrators in terms of generative AI? How are they applying it and how are they mitigating risk? Category number two is with the advent of generative AI, right? What's going to be the impact of generative AI within the industry on, let's call it my client type or my industry, right? So if I'm in the RFP world and I happen to be an automotive supplier, and I'm doing an RFP for implementation of Oracle, right? One of the things I'm going to ask those systems integrators is, right, how has generative AI impacted Oracle as a product line for my industry, right? Where can I get the benefits? And I'm going to ask, where are the savings coming from to me from you, Mr. Systems Integrator, application of AI, right? So that's the second broad category. And then the third broad category is, Mr. Systems Integrator, what tools are you bringing to the table, or what tools do you recommend that I, as a client, can improve my own productivity in terms of the implementation of the actual systems itself and SAP. So how can I be more productive in my responsibilities, like data cleansing, like systems, testing, like the design of the systems interfaces or developing of training materials. So putting the burden on the SI to be able to assist me in lowering my cost as well. I want to be able to insert all of those into the RFP in order to be able to kind of spur that systems integrator on of passing the benefits to the client.
Excellent. Well, this is great, John. I'm sure we could probably go on all day with all these topics. Every one of them can kind of play out into the weeds, and there's obviously a lot of considerations to be making across the board at a at a macro and micro level, tactical, strategic implements, et cetera. So it's great. Great running through this. And I just wanted to actually, in closing here, as we wrap up, I just wanted to send a note out to, first of all, thank you everybody for listening to our podcast. And this Sourcing Enterprise AI is really about you and all the different projects and scopes and vendors that you're working through. And, wanted to say that if you have any questions that you want us to talk through or address on a episode, or if you got a project coming up and you've had considerations for us, feel free to drop us a line. We're happy to listen to your questions and explore them on a call. So, send us a note at info@upperedge.com and we'd be happy to chat through. Thanks, John. It's great chatting with you.
You too, Bill.
Sourcing Enterprise AI is co-hosted by John Belden and Bill Rufo and produced by Mike Brown and Kylie Chisholm. The podcast is brought to you by UpperEdge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. For more innovative IT sourcing and risk mitigation insights, subscribe to the UpperEdge newsletter and follow UpperEdge on social media at the links in our episode description. Thank you for listening.